The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
I got choked up there, Mike, a little bit before the top of the hour there. I mean, I started coughing and I couldn't stop. Orange, like, does he need to come in here and you know, do the Heimlich?
Yeah, we call it the Heineken maneuver.
Yeah. Honestly. And I was like, no, I'm okay. Literally, I think some water went down the wrong pipe. Either way, I'm okay, as you can tell right
but,
now.
But, I mean, that's a commitment to your sponsor, the fact that you're like,
and I'll rely on, and I will.
No, but hey, man, hang in there. And then it is the worst fear when you're on the air, and that's happened to me because, you know, I had vocal cord surgery. Remember the end? I was working with Randy Mack that day, and I was like, okay, can I have to go see the doctor?
Yeah.
It's all over.
It's tough.
But hey, man, we were just talking off the air about not only are we obviously talking about Kirk Cousins and the Falcons, it's making news around like all of football. And that was a big, big article on ESPN.com. It's on ESPN Plus, actually, so there's a paywall. But they're talking about all the experts about, you know, the major stories this week. And one of them is, where do things stand with Cousins, Penix, and the future of the Falcons QB1 spot? And in a nutshell, kind of echoing what you and I have talked about, according to the experts, talking to our guy Mark Raimondi and more, the feeling is that unless they continue to lose games, Penix is never going to see the field. That you're gonna see Kirk Cousins play this thing out.
Yeah, I agree.
And they're gonna hang on to their mantra from the draft that you know Penix is the quarterback of the future, and that Cousins, this is Cousins' team. But they get into all the nuts and bolts of if Cousins really does seem like he's lost it. Would his contract, number one, it's still pretty reasonable by today's standards for contracts to try to find a trade partner. Again, I'm not putting the cart before the horse. We're not even down there yet. But I don't have the patience that everybody who seems to be talking about the Falcons and the Falcons themselves have. I think that Kirk Cousins is in crisis. And I think that, you know, you didn't right the ship against Minnesota. And, you know, if you can't score an offensive touchdown against the friggin' worst team in the league, then you really do have to think about Penix. I'm not Carl. I'm not playing radio like shenanigans. I'm not trying to make this a self-fulfilling prophecy. I said back in the draft that if you draft Penix and Cousins struggles, there's going to be a hue and cry for Penix. But there is a hue and cry for Penix because it's legitimate.
We act as if there haven't been moments in the last 4 weeks where he deserved to be benched. You're fooling yourself. Like the last 4 weeks, not week one, not even week two, but when we got to the third loss. And he's struggling, and we had another week of no touchdowns. There were moments in that game, and Coach said to us, hey, it's still a one-possession game. I don't care. There were reasons to consider this. Then you got to week four. Last week, I thought he was going to play better just because, hey, he was going to a place he was familiar. I mentioned this. You know, hey, I know the people there. I had some success there in that building. And, you know, we didn't really do anything. We scored 21 points, and it's a 21-21 game, right? Going into the fourth quarter, and then things fell apart. Ultimately, I think they are right. And whoever is saying whatever they're saying about Cousins and finishing this season, because, Mike, I feel like there is this sense, I don't even want to say entitlement, but that they do owe him an opportunity to right the ship and, more importantly, finish the season. Now, if he finishes the season and we don't make the playoffs – Yeah, we got to reevaluate. Look, we don't have time to be clowning around and saying, oh, we'll wait another 3 years until we're good, or, you know, like this is, again, why you drafted the guy you drafted. So I am not there. I've not been as adamant as you, and I get it. A lot of Falcon fans are hitting me up saying, Dukes, why are you not with Bell on this? We want Penix right now. Part of that is because I know they're not going to do it. They're just not.
Right. And that's one of the things that, you know, when we were talking about guys like, well, did you press coach? Well, coach, he's not going to deal in hypotheticals, but, you know, we did lose four in a row, and your starting quarterback has gone eight interceptions, zero touchdowns in those games. So I think there needs to be a sense of urgency, and I think that Coach Ron will talk about this tomorrow. I think you're doing a disservice to your team if you're not trying to find the best option at every position available.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and the whole game plan, whatever, you got a guy. You've got an option. So if Cousins can't figure this out, and again, this is inexplicable. We've already covered this, so I'll make it brief. The guy was twice this year he's been the offensive player of the week in the NFC. We've seen him kick butt. We've seen him rally in the Eagles and the Bucks and everything else. So I don't know where this goes. I mean, the thing is, you and I don't have the familiarity with Kirk Cousins. We spoke with a guy who covers the Vikings before last week, and he goes, he's never seen Kirk Cousins in a rut like this.
So let's talk about the other side of the football, because I think that's where you got to try to fix some things. As bad as things are, Cousins did play better last week, and that's not saying a lot, but it is saying something. I'm talking about Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates and Mike Hughes and Dee Alford and Clark Phillips, and I'm calling them out by name because you guys know that was a horrible performance last week. We cannot go where we want to go if the secondary is floundering around like they did last week. And, Mike, I said it about A.J. Terrell. For those who don't know, when A.J. Terrell was matched up on Justin Jefferson, they didn't throw at him. So we can have this conversation about where A.J. is, but obviously Sam Darnold and O'Connell were very familiar with, if that's the matchup, we'll go the other way. And they did. But they took those shots down the field, and for us to have the best safeties in the league, and we've been saying this all year, Justin and Jesse, you guys are the best in the league. You didn't play like it last week. So, Mike, we got to clean that up. And how do we get them right? How does Jimmy Lake clean that situation
up? Well, I think you can do the same things you did against the Chargers that you might have tried to do against the Vikings, which, again, resulted in more sacks but also blew up in your face. And Simmons not getting, let's be honest, Sam Darnold on the ground, that was a huge momentum shift. That resulted in six. You know, finish the play. Same thing which cost us games last year with our defense. But if you're going to blitz and you've got weapons that are viable, you can get burned, especially in the secondary is as bad as it was last week. But I don't think against the Raiders you have to worry about that. You got basically two weapons. You've got certainly Brock Bowers, and then I've got him on my fantasy team. Max Crosby's on the defensive side. I'll tell you right now, Jacoby Myers.
Yep.
Jacoby Myers got like 750 yards and change. So that's basically, once Davante Adams got traded to the Jets, that's wide receiver one for the Raiders. So you could argue you can do the same things you did against the Chargers and probably get there, but you just couldn't do it against the Vikings. So maybe it's the same, or you go back to playing that zone.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Phone, you know, and you just and let the guy keep everything in front of you.
Well, I like,
and just assume that the Raiders won't be able to do much.
I like being aggressive. I mean, to me, Mike, one of, if not the biggest plays of the day last week, and you know, I'd love to see the views of this at the facility tomorrow. Obviously, we won't get a chance to because they're trying to turn the page and move on. Was the miss sack when we brought the heat against Sam Darnold and we were
Simmons. That's the one.
This close, right? And you say, out of all the plays on Sunday, how many times have we seen that this year? We've been this close to making that play. If we make that play, they're punting the football away. It's potentially a different game. And I just think, like, you missed that opportunity and they score. We saw it earlier in the year with one of our other games. I'm trying to remember where Zoe had a chance to get, maybe it was Carolina, had a chance to get, you know, the red rifle on the ground, and we missed the play.
And then touchdown before the halftime.
Yes. Yeah. Those plays are critical. Now, we won that game, but we didn't win this one. And so when we talk about getting there, it's not the sacks. It is when you get those sacks is what matters to me.
couple of guys hit us up on the text line saying, what if we ever did go to the nuclear option? Chris just mentioned it in our ear. It would be a big, big hit, guys. $65 million in dead money towards your cap next year. Trading him would cost $37.5 million in dead money, but again, you still got to pay us out. This is just too many hits there. You just need Cousins to get better. Like, the worst case scenario is Kirk Cousins' career is winding down right in front of our eyes. And I don't think that's the case. But again, I've never watched Kirk Cousins for a season. I've only seen the highlights of him, 30 touchdowns, 28 touchdowns. He's on pace for more interceptions than he's ever had in his career. His high was 14 back in 22, and we're already at 13. So, I mean, we're in trouble. So, and he got a first-year offensive coordinator. DJ Yates has been around the NFL. He's played the position. I just don't know what you do other than, you know, he was on pace to having a decent, like, he threw for 340 yards in a loss to the Vikings.
Yep.
But it's just not, it's not translating in the red zone. And then another question we'll ask Coach, do you need Pitts to do a better job? And I'm going to ask him to spell it out for us and not, so to speak, in, you know, generalities. I mean, being the best Kyle Pitts you can be. Because the one thing Pitts did was get open down the middle, and Pitts couldn't get the football. Cousins delivered a bad throw. You know, we always talk about, you know, getting him involved in a red zone. He was open, and Kyle throws it behind him, and the DB makes a hell of a play. I'm just frustrated. And, guys, this is not I'm not trying to create a quarterback controversy. I'm just trying to find who the best freaking quarterback is to win us some games.
Well, the best quarterback is Kirk Cousins, but he hasn't played like it. And let's – can we stop talking about Kyle Pitts? Honestly. I mean, you're right. He was open, and it wasn't his fault. But, like, 36 catches on the year?
Yeah. Well, he also had one hit him in the hands, and he dropped after running a sloppy route.
Can we just stop talking about, like, if he shows up, great. If he doesn't, so what? He's not the reason why we're fundamentally losing now. I thought he was the biggest part of this offense to really open things up for the guys on the outside in this run game when the season started, which is why I pressed the issue so much. Mike, we're at a point now. Dude, it's week 14.
Look, the season slipping by. You know, there was a point where you felt so good, 6-3, and you got the you're looking good to win this division going away. Bucks, by the way, they get the Chargers. Herbert's banged up. Looks like there's a chance Aiden O'Connell will play based on what Antonio Pierce was saying to the media today. Keep an eye on that. Otherwise, yeah, Desmond Ridder. They're right now, it's them and the Giants. By the time the season ends, the Giants will likely be the number one pick, but the Raiders are right there at number two.
If the Raiders get it, we think quarterback. Right? I mean, they're the team. I think definitely. Giants, too, obviously.
Yeah, because they moved on from Daniel Jones. He's not even in the building anymore. So, yeah, Shedeur Sanders. And I can't wait to see if, look, John Elway's dad helped John Elway and his agent maneuver out of playing for a team they didn't want to play for. And Eli Manning and his dad, Ars, kind of did the same thing with the Chargers. Yeah. I'm curious to see if Deion does it, if he doesn't like any of the options for his son.
In the ultimate sense of irony, guys, excuse me real quick. Number one running back in all of fantasy, Bijan Robinson.
Okay.
He's doing his job.
Yes.
And that's an element of the team that you can't ask for much more.
No, look, they're giving him the opportunities to do what we expected him to do.
We ran against a team you can't run against last week. That's another thing.
All right, we've got more to get to, guys. Strong arm story of the day is next. A couple of things going on, but tonight it's Hawks-Knicks right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell. And our coverage begins, by the way, at 6:30, tips at 7 as the Hawks are in the NBA Cup. We've been talking about it today because, again, Tracy, no, I don't want to be the villain. I don't necessarily like that role, but we know that's what's going to happen tonight because, Mike, they're going to boo him and they're going to be saying blank Trae Young.
You know, I was thinking about it. We played that audio of Trae with Tigger after the game when back at State Farm when he beat the Knicks, and I was like, you know, yeah, you kind of – don't be passive-aggressive. Be that guy. Nobody likes the Knicks. Their fans are animals. They showed their arse back in 2021.
They did.
And you basically told them to get their hat, get the coat, and get the – not out the door last time they played. Or you still got that audio of Trae? Because I thought that was great. So, yeah, man, have a little swagger. Have a little attitude with this team because they tried to punk you. You had a guy spit at you at the Garden for crying out loud back in 21.
No, it was ridiculous. But as we go into this game tonight, again, if they advance, this is the quarterfinals, then they will go to Vegas to face the Milwaukee Bucks. Here is the audio Mike was talking about.
I hope these New York fans find their way to the exit real, real quick. Boo! Take out the tone.
Boo!
Love it. That's great, man. And it puts a little spice into this thing. You know, I've always been kind of dubious about this in-season tournament, but now we got a chance to go to Vegas, and the guys got a chance to make a cool half mil. Giddy up.
It's crazy. Hawks tonight, and hopefully we play well. But, Mike, we just have some news that just came in. It is official. Bill Belichick will become the next head coach of the University of North Carolina. This is being reported by various sources, including Pete Thamel. But we've been telling you all day that they were close and there were some things that needed to be worked out. And, Mike, let's talk about this because, listen, we've been going back and forth over the last few days. I do not feel like, okay, and we'll see. He's going to get – we don't know the term. We don't know what's going to happen as far as the money involved and all of that. But when this is all said and done, let's have a conversation about what he did at the college level. Belichick is going back to a school where his father served as an assistant coach in the 1950s, if you're wondering why there's a connection there.
Okay.
All right. But, Mike, six-time Super Bowl champion Bill Belichick finalizing a deal to become the new head coach at North Carolina.
And he's never, ever been a coach in college. He was obviously around his dad's teams, including the team at Annapolis that Bill always refers back to his dad's time at Navy. But it just didn't make a lot of sense to me. It made no sense when Bill Walsh went back to Stanford.
I agree.
And won seven games his last 2 years. It made no sense when Herm Edwards went to Arizona State in his late 60s and eventually got them nearly in trouble with the NCAA and didn't win in much games either. This makes no sense. Not to mention the fact that you're tethered to a guy who's going to be 73 in the spring, who might be the greatest NFL coach of all time, but he's never done this, and he's also got a list of demands as big as a phone book. He literally came with a 400-page, I should say, might as well, list of how he wants things done. We called it the Bill Belichick UNC Manifesto earlier. So he wants to have total control over. That's to be expected. And you've also, did they sign off on his son, Stephen Belichick, taking over as head coach?
They had to.
So he's coach in waiting.
They had to.
And by the way, the coach in waiting thing, it's never worked anytime, anywhere, other than Jimbo Fisher at Florida State, whether it's a son or not. Remember when, who's it? Bobby Knight set up his son Pat at Texas Tech and then quit.
Sure did.
You know, I don't buy it.
So that's the news. So for everybody who said, Belichick will be back in the NFL, slow your roll. He's in college now. And, Mike, he's got a lot of work to do. We don't know what his staff's going to look like, but it's Belichick. He'll hire a competent staff. I am just more convinced about his ability to win and win at a high level. If you take this job, Belichick goes to UNC, guys, and wins seven games, who cares? Mike, you're hiring Bill Belichick to do what? To get into the college football playoff, to win the ACC, to revitalize the program and be one of, if not the best programs in college football. You know who that's been in the ACC? It's been Clemson. And I don't know right now with where Miami is, and we'll see how they continue to build. And, guys, SMU just came into the conference and won it. So for all the conversation, one of the best teams, for all the conversation about Belichick, Mike, this is not a gimme.
No, it is a win of all the conferences he could have joined. It's a winnable conference.
I agree.
To your point.
I agree.
Give me the Tom Brady audio that we played earlier. This is from yesterday. He was on a podcast and he was talking, going round and round about the idea of Belichick in college. I thought it was he was being tongue in cheek, but he brings some valid points. Belichick on the recruiting trail. Belichick dealing with some of the things that Michigan just dealt with, where the incoming quarterback basically dictated who the offensive coordinator is going to be. You're stepping into that world? Take a listen.
Can you imagine him coaching college?
No.
Absolutely not.
I think there's a lot of things he could do, and obviously he's tremendous, and even showing his personality, but getting out there on the recruiting trail and dealing with all these college kids, that
could
would be.
Could you imagine?
With NIL? Like, yeah.
Could you imagine Bill on a couch?
Listen,
recruiting an 18-year-old?
You really want to come here? I mean, we don't really want you anyway, but I mean, I guess you could come. We'll figure out if you play.
If you bring your parents and use them as a third party, you're gone. You're off the team. We're direct.
And that was actually Fox NFL with Gronk and Company, by the way, not the podcast. That was the broadcast.
On the pregame show, 404-726-0929. You guys can chime in. Big O, what you got, man?
How does he deal with college media? I know NFL media is one thing. College media can be a little bit different because...
Oh, it just rolls right over like they're not even there.
It's not just like the actual, like, you're dealing with college kids. Like, some college students going to be asking him tough questions after losses and games and things like that.
He'll shut it down. But believe me, we've seen these kids. Now, there's an entire generation of folks who don't even understand the temperature in the room and the questions. And we've seen it with Saban. Saban's had to answer questions from kids from the school newspaper.
Yeah.
Belichick will be like, you kidding me? He'll throw him a glare and he'll shut it right down.
The whole recruiting thing, like, seriously, I think it's going to be his way or the highway, right? And the thing with that is, in college, you need them more than they need you. I don't know if he gets that yet. And here's why you have to placate two 18- and 19-year-olds. I lived it. If you don't, Mike, you don't get the stars who tell the other kids, this is where you need to be. It is that game that you have to – there's a balance. And when you are Georgia, for example, and you're winning at a high level and you're sending guys to the NFL, and I know part of this pitch is, well, look at all the guys he coached in the NFL. Yes, in the NFL. And now he's got to develop guys and put them in the NFL and show that he's able to do that. But Kirby can be, and I've said this time and time again, very selective, and he is. But you got to get to the point where you're doing what Georgia's doing and you are the program. You can't be that damn selective when you're UNC right now because, well, we're UNC and we got Bill Belichick. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
Inheriting a class because of the turnover once Mac Brown was dismissed of a 90th, by the way, as far as from rivals in the recruiting ranking because there was so much turnover and kids moved out off their commitment. Article in the Sporting News also said, and there was an internal struggle in the Board of Trustees amongst it. Some guys were lukewarm to this idea. They also talked about, remember, they brought Mac Brown back. And Mac Brown said he would know when it was time to leave. And when he didn't know it was time to leave, after going 6-6, they moved him out.
He didn't want to go. Well, there was a game this year, real quick.
The James Madison game.
Where he asked his kids, do you want me to stay?
Right. Well, but that's what he expect the kids
to say. And everybody was like, coach, this isn't your fault. We blew it. And he was like, if you guys want me to go. And then he came back the next week, to your point. It was like, well, I'm going to stay.
But that's like WWE. Do you really want me to go? I mean, come on. In the case of...
Because everybody was blaming him.
But it's like the buck stops. But the athletic director, they fired him along with the chancellor from phone, by the way, from Maui. They were out there with the basketball team.
Yeah, they were.
And there's been a lot of folks that say the Board of Trustees is not happy with their athletic director, Bubba Cunningham, because apparently they're not getting accurate numbers from some of the things that the sports, the athletic department is doing with some of the different sports. I would imagine football. So sounds like somebody's counting beans. Some people's not happy with the direction of it. Now you just threw Bill Belichick in there with all his demands. Interesting.
Yeah, and here's the thing about the age part of it. And again, I'm not an age discriminate guy. I'm just not. If you're 20 and you can do the job, do it. If you're 72, you can do it. But, Mike, there is a certain energy that goes along with staying up on all of this stuff in your program and with college football. And at 72 years old, again, is this just a lot of reporting to Bill? Or is this Bill being active and involved?
Well, he certainly, as we joked around yesterday, had enough off time when he wasn't antiquing in Nantucket or riding bikes with his girlfriend to put together his thesis, if you will, for how he's going to fix Carolina football. I don't know, man. To me, this makes less than zero sense. I think you would wait for the NFL hiring cycle to come out and you throw your hat in that ring. Because you don't get to pass Don Shula coaching the Tar Heels for all-time wins. I don't get it. He's the greatest NFL coach of all time, save maybe for Lombardi. You know, but... This makes no sense. It makes less than zero sense.
When we come back, why the Dogs can beat Notre Dame and why they can beat Indiana. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Some people are laughing at the idea that Bill Belichick is headed to college football. We're going to talk more about that.
Also, well, he certainly relates to younger people. We've noticed that.
Well, one younger female. Yeah. We've got a couple of guests that are going to stop by. Let's talk real quick about the Dogs because that's what this is about, right? The college football playoff. The teams that are actually in it. They will take on the winner of the Notre Dame-Indiana game. Listen, Notre Dame can mash teams up with the run. They've shown that all season long. Georgia has had some difficulty in stopping the run. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about, all right, how does Georgia beat Notre Dame? Because they are 11-1. But, Mike, you look at their schedule, and this gets back to what you've been screaming about strength of schedule all year. 7 of their 12 opponents are ranked 72nd or lower in the ratings or Sagarin ratings, which means, hey, they haven't played anybody. They didn't face any of the 11 college football playoff teams and only one team in the final CFP, which was Army, and they beat them pretty easily. So what I'm telling you is, if it is Notre Dame, Georgia will be their toughest opponent to date. That is part of this. And we said this with Texas, and as good as Texas is, they hadn't beaten Georgia. And I don't think that'll be the case if it's in the Superdome with Notre Dame. Now, Indiana's also 11-1, but we know strength of schedule played a role there. They do have a really good defense. There's no debating that. Number 2 in FBS in total defense. But that doesn't mean that I don't think Georgia goes up against Indiana, Mike, and handles them because they are also going to get their toughest test against the Dogs.
Yeah, it just to me, it's a nice story. Ohio State, you know, as we know, Ohio State made the tournament, but Ohio State, no one really is impressed by them, especially after that Michigan loss. And they pretty much handled them from start to finish at the horseshoe. Yeah, I just don't buy it. To me, can Georgia beat a team from James Madison? Then they can beat Indiana.
Yeah.
Because that's basically what you're running with.
Yep.
You know, so, and Cignetti, like, he's bankrolled. This isn't good for him, but I just, to me, there's so many things that are so in a state of flux in college football to bank on a guy after 1 year banking on the portal.
I
talk to Mike Norville and FSU fans about that.
Yeah, and here's the other part. And I mean, look, just because their best win was over a 7-5 Michigan team at the time, you look at that, we're at a different point in the season. I understand that. But, like, by no means do I look at this. And I said, this is Georgia's advantage. The fact that they played the schedule they played is their advantage in this college football playoff. I truly believe
nobody's
that.
Played anything.
No.
I mean, look, and this isn't SEC homerism. It's just it's the facts. You know, Boise State is a hell of a story. Great running back. Heisman Trophy finalist. Haven't played anybody. Now, you can say, though, when they did go up against the big boys, they took Oregon all the way to the end of the game.
They did.
You know, that's now that should count for something. But still, the overall strength of the schedule is 89, even playing number one Oregon.
So, as this shakes out and the Dogs continue to prepare, they'll get themselves ready. But either one of these teams are going to move on. I just feel like the Dogs will have the advantage. And again, that is not homerism, as Mike said. 404-726-0929. If you are just joining us, we were talking about Bill Belichick because the deal is done. He is going to take the job at North Carolina. And it is a big story, simply because, again, you're talking about the greatest coach in the history of the NFL trying to make this jump. We will tell you right now, the college coaches who make the jump to the NFL, it rarely works. As a matter of fact, the greatest college coach was not successful in the NFL, and his name's Nick Saban. So to make this jump from the NFL to college with the atmosphere that is now in college football, and Belichick said the other day, Mike, we heard it, we played the soundbite, college football is like the NFL now. Well, sort of. But there's still that recruiting element, and it matters.
I mean, you've got to deal with a lot of, like, the whether you want to talk about the helicopter parents or the kids that are, you know, for every Joe Burrow who works as a transfer, you got a lot of transfers that are just damaged goods and kids who don't never seem to work out, and maybe there's some correlation with that and the fact they didn't stick it out and fight for a job somewhere. We don't know. Not making a blanket statement, but that's part of, you got to deal with all that mercurial nonsense.
That's right.
All these kids, you got to kiss their butts. And if you don't, and oh, by the way, even if you get them on campus, they can skedaddle after a year.
So, guys, you guys know why Nick Saban stepped away, right? Because of the foolishness that's going on right now. And yet Belichick at 72 is like, I'm all in. Let me into that circus. I want to be a part of it.
Our buddy Steve Wickety Wickety Weiss just tweeted that video of Nick Saban doing the electric slide in that living room.
Yeah.
Says, can't wait to see Bill Belichick on the recruiting trail, to Orrin's point earlier.
All right, man. We're going to take a quick timeout. We're coming back. We got a couple of guests that we're going to talk to, but that is a big story, and we'll continue to address it. Steve Holman from the Hawks is going to join us.
Bang!
Hawks in action tonight at the Garden. And also, Mike, we're going to talk to Hondo.
Hondo is the man in charge of the Vegas Raiders scene. We're going to see what they think about their quarterback situation. Can we really see Ritter on Monday Night Football? We'll get the 411.
By the way, Belichick's contract has just been announced. 3 years, $30 million.
And you have to hire my son.
3 years, $30 million.
Hey, Tom Brady got any eligibility left, coach?
All right, we're coming back. Stay right there.